Can I talk to you for a minute? Name's Dalton, right?
I don't know you.
My name is Tillman. Frank Tillman. I have a little club outside of Kansas City called the Double Deuce. Used to be a sweet deal. Now it's the kind of place that they sweep up the eyeballs after closing.
What do you say we get nipple to nipple? This is Film Sack. Oh, sure.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Film Sack. This is Film Sack, mining the very depths of film entertainment for all mankind. My name is Scott Johnson. This is episode 190, and I'm joined tonight by Brian. He took a double deuce before we started this podcast tonight, Dunaway.
And am I a lot lighter? Hi, I'm 80s Swayze, the best Swayze. And you may not know this about me, but I can communicate with horses. True, true. I talk to Uncle Jesse's horses at the place I'm renting from. We have tea, crumpets, and talk about the rich man next door, at least until he flies in with his helicopter, and then we run like crazy.
The horse sound at the end. Also with us, Randy, it's impossible to look cool. It's impossible to look cool looking down out of the window of a monster truck, Jordan.
Aloha, Brian, Scott, Brian. Mm. My name is Deluxe, Randy Deluxe. I have a little club outside of Kansas City called the Double Deuce. Named it after a Strong Bad email. Most of the Strong Bad emails, actually. Mm-hmm. Used to be a sweet deal. Now it's the kind of place that they sweep up the eyeballs after closing because people drop their eyeballs all the time and then they can't find them seeing as they're blind. Are you guys going to just sit there and stitch your own skin? Are you going to jump at this awesome opportunity to move to a place where there's no cops, no guns, no rules, no women over the age of 24, and an abundance of chlamydia and hepatitis? Come on.
Oh, man. This right? That's the movie, everybody. Also, finally with us, Brian, hey, check out Sam Elliott's Crotch Ibbot.
Hold on, I'm adding another 3 minutes to my opening. Hey, guys, quit giving me a hard time about my dancing. I am dancing, and yes, I do that by nodding my head rhythmically. You want to take this outside? Fine, we'll take it outside, but no hitting below the belt, which, since this is the 1980s, is up to my nipples. By the way, good news, everybody, I sold another Buick.
For a good time.
Banner intros all around, everybody. My goodness.
Right?
I feel like you guys
lots of great material.
Pulled
lots
out the exactly. Pulled out the big like guns.
It's like it's a buffet of good material right.
Yeah.
For openings.
It was really, really
seriously,
good.
I got the soles of my feet dirty just watching this movie.
Yeah. Hard not to, right? You know, you go into those places like we were talking before the show about Texas Roadhouse now, places like that, like you do the whole shell the peanuts and leave it on the ground kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This right. movie had probably peanuts and
fingernails,
penis and fingernails and every kind of other gross thing you can think
Samuel
of.
Samuel is not showing you his.
Yeah. Bunch of dander on the floor in this place.
Very,
bunch of dander.
Very dandery. Yeah.
Bunch of dander.
A lot of mullets.
A lot of hair, follicles, things like that. It's pretty gross, right. But hey, it's a Roadhouse and it is about frickin' time that we got around to it. So I think I want to say this has appeared on and off on Netflix over the last couple of years. And each time it did, it was like seeing part of a full moon or something. And we all got excited and got our telescopes out. And then a cloud would come by and obscure it and Netflix would take it away. So we never got to see it. But it was always on the hearts and minds and lips of listeners who were like, dude, you got to do Roadhouse. I'll send you DVDs or whatever. And we got lucky. Right. We got a chance to do it. It's getting yanked again, but not before most people can watch that and enjoy this episode.
This is the final in the trifecta of embarrassing 80s movies I never saw.
Oh, that's funny. I was under the impression. Oh, no, you know, that's right. You did say that last week. You're the only one, I think. I've seen it, but I don't remember a damn thing. And you saw it or you haven't seen it. This is your first time.
This is my first viewing. I had never seen, to my shame, I had never seen Top Gun, which we watched on film sack.
Yeah. That was
shameful.
It was. I had never seen Footloose.
Yeah. Also, what the geez? Okay.
That was also shameful.
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. and this Roadhouse. And out of the three, I've got to say that I was fine with having missed Top Gun and Footloose. I don't think I missed anything by missing those growing up. This movie.
Oh, I disagree.
This movie. I felt like I missed something.
Yeah.
No, you didn't. No, here's the thing. You got to look back at these films thinking about all the times that people reference them, whether it's consciously or subconsciously, that things from the movies get worked into the vernacular. They just get worked into everyday situations. The problem, Brian, is you didn't know. You didn't know how many times. I promise you, Top Gun was the thing you didn't catch on to the most of those three things. I promise you.
Actually, I disagree. Actually, I had seen enough spoof on Top Gun and Footloose throughout time period of this to now to know what all of that stuff meant. I didn't feel like there was any surprises when I watched these movies. However, I had no clue. I was blown away by what Roadhouse was. Yeah. Totally not what I thought it was.
Okay, well, let me ask this. If it was all, you know, if you'd gleaned all you needed to from Top Gun or about Top Gun from parodies and things, can someone remind me the name of the movie? I want to say it was Emilio Estevez.
Hot Shots Part Due. Well, that was the sequel. Yeah, Hot Shots and Hot Shots Part Due.
Okay, and they kind of, it was like lots of things. It was one of those Zucker Dude movies again, right?
Yeah, it borrowed from, it parodied Iron Eagles and mm-hmm. all sorts of, mm-hmm. Rambo.
Rambo, yeah.
Yep.
But it was it Charlie Sheen or was it Emilio Estevez?
Estevez.
No, it was Charlie.
Yeah, it was Charlie Sheen. The Estevez one was Loaded Weapon.
Oh, yes. That's something I have Loaded Weapon. You're right. Yes. No, you're right. You're totally right.
Both of those happen. Weird. Well, and then Men at Work.
Don't worry.
Surprisingly featured no music by Men at Work.
Yeah. Speaking of Lethal Weapon, we got another Richard Donner movie next week. That guy's creeping up the charts and directors on FilmSack. Yeah. Anyway, sorry, Randy.
I really, really don't like to ever disagree with my teammate and partner, Brian Dunaway. Mm. I really don't, because Brian Dunaway, he is Frog Pants Studios, Larry the Cable Guy. I love Brian to death.
Hi now. Hey,
Brian, take that as a compliment, dude. Just
please. But he is so far off base about these three movies, and I love the comparison between Top Gun, Footloose, and Roadhouse.
Yeah. Right.
Footloose and Roadhouse are useless compared to Top Gun. Top Gun is so much more important. Dare I say, no, I'm not going to say it.
Okay.
I could have gone the rest of my life without seeing Roadhouse. This is the first time I've ever seen it. It was nothing like I thought it was going to be.
Yeah.
And I enjoyed it. I really did. I enjoyed it for the fact that it sucks so bad. I enjoyed the music. Oh my gosh, the music was great. But again, Top Gun's music's better.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
which
I could
part
just go
of the
on and on.
Did you like where the lady was working out? Like that music? Is that what you
learned? Well, we're going to get to that.
Yeah, we're going to get to that. Trust me.
But it just reminded me of all of these movies remind me of a time when people really cared about getting good music in movies. Like that's what the three have in common.
Yeah,
I think
they do.
I mean, when you have the band in the opening credits.
Oh, dude. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. No, it's great. And the thing about these movies, they all have kind of a tonal connection to me. And that is they all kind of feature the same approach to posters and promotional work, and the music is very, I mean, there's kind of that emphasis on music throughout the whole thing, and it's got the same swagger as all three of those movies. Like, they all kind of live in the same place.
Same Swayze.
Oh, I see what you did. I see what you did. Well, Scott Fletcher can explain more about the plot, because people at home may not have seen it, and if you didn't, shame on you. But if you did, well, here's a little rehash. So here you go. Scott Fletcher, take it away.
Roadhouse. Never underestimate Dalton, a brawny bouncer who also happens to hold an NYU degree in philosophy. When he's hired to police a rowdy bar in the Midwest and falls in love with Doc, he angers her mean ex-boyfriend, who vows to win her back.
Wow, this is...
That's like the sexiest one he's done.
It really is, yeah.
I can't think of any sexier one that he's done outside of that one. I don't know what changed for him that day or this day.
He watched Roadhouse.
Is that what happened?
Right, yeah. Exactly. Yeah. He got the bad attitude on.
He did two of these. Look at this. Two versions of this.
What do you say? We get nipple to nipple.
Okay, so that's one. But then this more chilled out one. Whoops. Here we go.
What do you say we get nipple to nipple?
See, that one. That one makes me.
I've totally forgotten where in the film that is stated. Like this.
Oh, I don't. I remember exactly.
Scott Fletcher's delivery of it has changed my brain.
Yeah, no. It's,
and it's just hard to believe that a line like that wouldn't work too on a woman.
Yeah, you right. Right. I mean,
but her response. Sure, you know, puts a visual in your head. You know, she says, well, I can do that all by myself. So you're sitting there for a second. Oh, yeah, I can visualize that.
You totally had to visualize it. You went, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little bit weird. Director Rowdy Harrington is the director. Rowdy Harrington.
Uh-huh. Yep, of course it is, yeah.
famous WWF. Wait a minute.
Yeah, no, wrong guy. No. Rowdy Harrington, as they used to call him on the wrestling thing.
That's a great name.
In an alternate universe, the main character's name is Rowdy and the director's name is Dalton.
Oh, I see.
And it's exactly the same movie.
Same exact movie.
I was reading some stuff that made things sound a lot like they had intended from the very get-go to create essentially a Western in the kinds of, I guess, the kind of story it is, but also sort of the setting and him being this mysterious stranger named Dalton and Dalton being taken right from the Dalton gang, which is, you know, sort of legendary in film and Westerns and things. And everybody had names like this. They all had nicknames like, none of them are jumping in my head, but they all had these way Western-y kinds of names. And then there's some stuff. There is something out there that sort of indicates that the director was very intent on making basically a spaghetti Western, but set, you know, in the early 90s in a, you know, roadside bar and sort of modern tropes.
Did spaghetti Westerns have really badly portrayed sex? I don't know.
Yes, some of them did.
Yeah,
yeah. Some of them did. Yeah, that was.
If you mean by badly, you mean lots of side thigh, then you would be.
There's so much bad sex where they're like, okay, actors, take your places. I know you've never had sex before and you don't know how these parts fit together, but just do your best and we're going to.
It was weird. It was a little awkward. There's no question about
Every
that.
Every time there were two people naked trying to go at it, it was like, how is he putting it in her knee?
Why does this work?
What's he doing down there or whatever?
Well, so, Ibbot, you saw the movie, right? Younger? Yeah. Not just this time. I mean,
no, I'm doing this completely blind. No, I had a girlfriend who thought this was just, she was a huge, huge Patrick Swayze fan. So basically, she took me, dragged me to see everything that he did, including Roadhouse, including. Dirty Dancing. I'm trying to think of what else was right around then that
Ghost.
There's some other dance. Oh, well, Ghost. Yeah.
Ghost is similar. Yeah. He was on a roll then, man.
It was. Yeah. I mean, it was his, the late 80s, early 90s was his.
That was his time.
His time. Point Break would have been right after we broke up. So
that
one, but I'm looking through the list right here trying to see what else.
Is that what we pulled? What did we pull? We pulled one Swayze movie for another one, didn't we?
No, we've tried to get Point Break a couple of times and it got yanked a couple of times. I want to say we were going to do Dirty Dancing, but thought better of it. Didn't that happen?
Yeah, we've had Dirty Dancing on our list twice.
Yeah. And every time we get close to it, it's like, I don't know, man. I don't know if I'm ready for that. This one seems like the perfect deal. And I think this may have been a lot of fun as a commentary track. But the thing I don't remember is, get back to Randy's nudity here. I don't remember any of this. Like, I saw it in 91 in the theater with friends, and I do not remember.
Yeah, there was a lot.
Way more than I thought.
Way too much nudity.
Yeah.
I did not need to see that much butt.
Really?
It's like 5 seconds of butt. It's like
twenty minutes of different 5 second shots of butts.
We have let's see
5 minutes of Swayze's butt.
He had a pretty sculpted, he had a nicely sculpted butt. I was impressed. Whose other butt? Oh, the kitchen, skinny
kitchen butt?
Yeah. The girl who to me looks like what's her name in the Christmas Vacation movie? Her name just flew.
Christmas Vacation. That's not her.
I know it's not. But what's her? What's her name though?
You're talking about Juliette Lewis.
She looks like Juliette Lewis's sister to me.
She did.
Yeah.
Okay. The main actress. What's her face?
Kelly Lynch.
Yeah.
Kelly Lynch.
She looked just like her to me.
I think more of Monica Potter kind of.
Maybe a little
thing
bit
with Kelly Lynch.
But she was literally like bones, a little bit of skin on her.
I know I already joked about this, but tell me that you also imagined there was a sign up on the set that says no old chicks allowed on the set of this film. Did you notice that there was only a handful of women and they were all young?
Yeah, no old dudes. Or there are lots of old dudes, but no old ladies at all. No middle-aged ladies.
Single, Yeah, everybody was single in that town.
Even the plucky Rhea Perlman-like waitress chick.
Right.
Was young and kind of attractive in a spunky way.
Just like, what medical school did you go to that you're already practicing at age 23?
Mm-hmm. Well, this is pretty awesome. According to Kelly Lynch, speaking of her, whenever Bill Murray sees her sex scene with Patrick Swayze on television, he calls her husband, Mitch Glazer, and teases him about it on the phone. I hope this is true. That Bill Murray would do that, you know? That he's just enough of a goofball.
Right, that'd be
call.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's kind of awesome.
He was just watching Roadhouse. And,
I remember things being a little more badass when I saw it the first time. I didn't feel as much of that this time. And I also think it went into some crazy imaginary land toward the end that was not in my recollection of the film. And I mean, like, when he gets to that dude's house and stuff starts to go raw, it got weird.
Let's get into it right out of the gate. Scott Johnson, is this or is this not a revenge movie?
It is because there's been some talk about this on the on the blog. I believe that it is a revenge movie, but I also think it's not revenge movie in the sense that somebody's had some horrible wrong done with them and now they just spend the rest of the night picking people off. It's not that kind of revenge movie.
The turning point happens late in the film.
Yeah, so when that happens, the revenge is quick and it's kind of ridiculous and it involves ripping a dude's throat out down by the lake and it's odd.
And oh my God, the craziest, wackiest, silliest death scene I've ever... It doesn't actually kill the guy, but it's a death scene nonetheless.
Which one?
What doesn't kill the guy? Polar bear. Everybody dies.
Oh, the polar bear.
Oh, the polar
right.
bear.
Oh, yeah.
It is, you like, please, if you've ever posted a clip from a movie in the blog, please post that clip of that polar bear falling slowly on this dude who doesn't know to step to the side.
Yeah. Right.
Oh my God.
He works for the guy that hunted, killed, and stuffed that animal. Right. He's seen it in the house 1,000 times.
Yeah, but he doesn't like that room, he even says.
I guess so. But when it started coming at him, something in him went, and he did like a Laurel and Hardy laugh or like a freaking.
I want to
organize viewing parties where you have to sit for an hour and a half just to prepare yourself for that one scene. So freaking brilliant.
I wonder if
they were nipple to nipple.
Yeah, maybe. The bear and the guy. Yeah.
Right.
They were, yeah.
He had terrible henchmen. And he's a weird villain. I want to get into that a little bit. The weird,
Worst villain ever.
I don't understand the power. I don't understand how he wielded any power at all. Like, I don't understand what the influence was. I guess maybe financial or something, but to be able to go down. See, this is one of those. This was like Footloose in this other way for me. You go to this town, and the town is so lawless at this point. Dude can have one of his buddies, Steve or whatever his name was, and a giant monster truck and drive that through the front plate glass window of a dealership and destroy every car. It's ridiculous. Like, that kind of stuff pulls me out of movies.
Do you think that was written into the script, or they happened to get a monster truck deal or something that got in there and said, we got to work in a deal?
Okay, let's stop a moment. For everyone that was born after 1982, This movie was made right in the white hot center of a monster truck craze.
Yeah.
And we were all younger and we all thought it was amazing.
Yep. Sunday. Yep.
Yeah. And this truck, Bigfoot 2, bright blue Ford F-150 up on the crazy lifts.
Yeah.
I'm shocked they didn't actually have the name Bigfoot of the truck on the side of the truck.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess this is also kind of before you just get taken right to court by the people who, you know, like had trademarked the thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, like the moment those of us who are old enough to remember this time in our history saw that truck, the instant we saw that truck, everybody thought watching this movie, oh, that's going over a bunch of cars.
Yeah, of course it is.
Right, exactly.
What else are you going to use it for?
Truck. It's the law of the machine gun. You don't have the machine gun or the rocket launcher in the movie unless that thing is going to get fired.
It's Chekhov's monster truck.
If a bad guy, you're right. If a bad guy has a helicopter, there will be an RPG or some sort of air-to-ground thing or ground air, whatever.
I am adding Chekhov's monster truck to TV Trope for work.
And when Patrick Swayze said, "Well, yeah, the horses let me know when people are here," I was like, "Well, that's going to happen."
Oh, yeah. Someone else coined it before me.
Oh, dang it!
If a monster truck appears in the first act of a movie, it must drive over a car by the third.
That's pretty good. Awesome. That's pretty good. But I maintain what I said at the top of the show. It is impossible, and I defy anyone to tell me any different. At least now that this era is over and monster truck fascination has subsided. It is impossible to look cool driving one of those things.
Oh my gosh,
I think they look ridiculous.
Right.
Not cool.
Silly.
Now, maybe if you're Wesley Snipes.
maybe. But even then,
in the 90s, you know what? Wesley Snipes in the 90s might have looked cool.
Okay,
let me tell you what. I think if The Rock came pulling up in that,
Dwayne
The Rock Johnson came pulling up in that, I think he could still pull it off.
Yeah.
Do you remember the David Lee Roth video with the monster Jeep?
Yes.
Yeah. He looked all right in that thing.
All California Girls remake, right? Well, that was the one.
No. It was a new song. It was a,
oh, that wasn't
Little Ain't Enough.
Oh,
was the song.
It was him on his own though.
Yeah,
I remember that. Diamond Dave that. Without the rest of them.
Ibbot
knows. He knows. He's rolling his eyes at all this.
I'm
stuff.
Not going to remember that. I refuse to remember that.
Blanked it out.
So an off-Broadway, this will blow your mind. This thing won like all the Razzies that year, and it's on the list of the 100 most enjoyable bad movies ever made in the Golden Raspberry Award founder John Wilson's book, The Official Razzie Movie Guide. But this spawned an off-Broadway production of this thing. Off-Broadway is important to note because nobody in their right mind would put it on Broadway. But anyway, this was produced in 2003. The production had the excessively long title of Roadhouse, the stage version of the cinema classic that starred Patrick Swayze, except this one stars Tamac from the 80s cult classic The Last Dragon wearing a blonde mullet wig, unquote.
Wow.
That's the title. Yeah. That is fantastic.
It is. Now, obviously,
I'm not putting that on the marquee. Forget it.
Right. That won't be off Broadway for very long. They don't have room. But, but I mean, and it's very, obviously very tongue in cheek, but that is the legacy of this movie. I feel like the legacy of the movie is so much bigger than the movie. Now that I've seen it again, I just kind of go, that wasn't very good. There was a lot of dead time. I don't need the whole dancing with freaking Sam Elliott stuff. Mm-hmm. Like, this is boring.
Yeah, that was actually some of the better movie.
That was so...
Me and Dunaway are going to jump all over that.
I disagree. I was bored.
That was so charming. That was
Before we get off the off-Broadway thing, would you rather see an off-Broadway play based on this or the off-Broadway Legally Blonde?
This.
Ooh, yeah, this, absolutely.
Oh, that's hard.
No, it's not.
No, not hard at all.
That's not hard at all.
Because Legally Blonde is so goddamn charming.
I mean,
it's just so very, very funny.
No.
This movie, to tie these topics together, this movie is only charming when Sam Elliott is charming.
I love Sam Elliott. Don't get me wrong.
Old guy, what's the name of the old guy who rents him the room on the farm?
Oh, he's Jesse. He was Uncle great. Jesse, looking guy.
He's really charming, too.
I agree.
But okay, so I'm with you. Yeah, I want to see this.
Yeah, I would see this over that other thing for sure. But I love Sam Elliott, and I would watch him do anything. So,
including punch a guy in the crotch?
Yeah.
I'm not showing you my penis.
Or even showing us his. Whatever, man. I'll watch him do that. Said. I'll let him.
I'm a little guy in this movie, too.
Yeah.
I didn't really want to see Sam Elliott's pubes.
Well, you didn't know you were going to get him, did you? You went to this movie kind of sight unseen. You're like, I'm not going to see his pubes, right? No way.
That really happens when you're out to places like that, and you're out and you're sitting around with some guy who has absolutely no boundaries, which Sam Elliott's character had no boundaries in this movie. And then all of a sudden, you know, before you know it, suddenly, you know, he's showing you his happy trailer. You're like, what? How did this happen? What just happened?
Brian Dunaway, your social life just mesmerizes me.
It does me too. I want to go where you go.
You're at the Huddle House, and the next thing you know, somebody is showing you a scar that you didn't want to see.
Oh, by the way, the old man was Emmett. What a great name, Emmett.
Yeah, Emmett's great. No, that's all good. I those are the roles I enjoyed the most. And I kind of like, I know this is going to sound cheesy, but I feel like we need to make a return to this a little bit. Right now, we're so anti-hero these days. You know, watch House of Cards or watch Breaking Bad or watch any other show that's really popular. Freaking Mad Men. They're all about these twisted, busted up dudes, right? Nobody's a real hero anymore. Mm-hmm. I find myself fondly enjoying movies where they get back to it some. And Westerns are like this. I think it's why I like Justified so much. Justified's got some complications, but characters, for sure. But there's still this pure goodness about certain people. And so even though you have this weird, mysterious past, you don't know what Swayze's doing as a character. You don't know where he's been or what he's seen. You just know he seems to be doing right by a lot of things. And some of it's super cheesy. Always got a PhD. You never knew. Blah, blah, blah. All that stuff's dumb. But
I don't know why he gave that benzo away to some homeless guy. That was just weird.
That is weird. But I like I just like the pure kind of heroic nature of a guy in a movie. We don't get that very often anymore. So I kind of appreciated that. He's nice to the guy who's renting the room. He's really nice to everybody he meets in town. Like, he's just this nice guy who has this hard job. And I miss that in movies. He's got to do the hard thing and he's got to fight hard to get what he needs. But in the end, he's going to do the right damn thing. And I liked that about the movie. It's super cartoony and thin here, but you know what I mean?
It's easy to do the right thing and rip a guy's throat out when you have melon ballers for fingernails.
That's a good point.
I mean, let's face it.
You still see a lot of Kurt Russell in him when you see him?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I had a hard time. And it wasn't that I can't tell the difference between Kurt Russell and Patrick Swayze. It's that I can't. Their names, for some reason, are in the same bucket in my brain. Mm-hmm.
Really?
And so I kept saying about this movie that Kurt Russell was, I mean, Patrick Swayze was, and I'm having a hard time getting over it. Like, I know they're different. Kurt Russell makes action movies. Patrick Swayze makes dancing movies. I know.
Action dancing movies,
yeah.
He looks like Corey Haim's brother to me. That's what he's always looked like to me. He's got Corey Haim's face. Put him up on a screen together and you'll go.
He kind of looks like a Corey Haim Feldman kind of combo.
I just did it. I just did the thing Randy was talking about. I meant Feldman.
Corey.
Yeah, wrong Corey. Rest in peace.
The wrong Corey.
That sounds like a movie.
On Film Sack. The wrong Corey.
By the way, did any of you watch the trailer for this movie on YouTube? The original trailer.
Negative.
Oh, I meant to go back and do that. I try to do that usually.
Is it good?
You would think it was the sultry, dirty dancing in the Midwest cowboy bar movie.
Was it that 70s announcer guy that makes everything sound super slutty?
Well, let's take a look at it. Let's find out. I got it right here. United Artists is the...
Can I buy you guys a drink?
There you go.
Guess not.
Patrick Swayze is...
Dalton.
I thought you'd be... bigger.
Opinions vary.
When he's around, anything can happen.
How's a guy like you end up a bouncer?
Just lucky, I guess.
And usually does.
If somebody gets in your face, I want you to be nice.
Don't be rude!
Ask him to walk.
Okay, so they're portraying it to be a lot more in the bar. And I wanted to be in the bar more.
Now imagine all the ladies who watched Dirty Dancing and liked it and then saw this trailer and thought, oh, a rougher Dirty Dancing. And then they saw a movie where he rips a guy's throat out.
Yeah.
Right.
It's different. In fact, that thing still seems really out of place to me because the movie's not, it's not unviolent.
Scott, it ends with four people shooting a guy with shotguns at point blank range and then claiming he cut himself shaving.
Yeah, like, but even then,
ending ever.
But
by
in the end, that's fine. It just that throat thing felt like what movie am I watching?
Right. Well, and it's the dichotomy of the whole. All right, be nice, and if they do this, be nice. And by the way, if they kick you in the balls, be nice.
Yeah.
But there's a time not to be nice, and at that point, that's when you can rip someone's throat out. Yeah. Just go right from the last edge of be nice to rip throat out.
Yeah. Take the larynx literally out of a guy's neck and hold it in the air, Mortal Kombat style. That's what he did.
Do you know what's funny? That this movie was a huge influence on a friend of mine. I didn't even realize it. I did not realize he wanted to be a bouncer for the longest time. And I never understood why.
Oh, because of this movie? Wow.
And I didn't know it was about this movie, but I started thinking about it. I'm like, he had a tattoo, be nice, on his forearm. And I kept going, I never understood that. But he was apparently living this whole philosophy.
Sure. I love that.
Of the Roadhouse. Sure, I didn't even realize it.
They make it look like a real glamorous life, don't they?
Right.
You get women throwing themselves at you. You get a nice loft for $100 a month.
Mm-hmm. Oh, what a jerk. What a jerk Patrick Swayze is. Like milking that poor.
Come back around. Guy. I would pay $150 a month for that loft in a heartbeat.
Yeah. Oh, my God. No, who wouldn't?
Yeah.
Well, of course. We already knew that.
We already knew $500 for a loft that size.
Easily.
With a gorgeous view of the villain's mansion across the lake. Yes. What are the odds?
That is the funniest thing about it.
The fact that he didn't say to Emmett, oh, no, I can't just take it for $100. I mean, how about 300?
Uh-huh. I really
I'm getting $5,000 a day to work at this damn double dues. Here, take 300 a month.
Exactly.
The deal was 500 a night and all medical expenses paid. Yeah. Right. 500 a night? Seriously? Right. And the worst thing that happens in the whole movie is this guy who's attacking him yells out, "I used to F guys like you in prison." Yeah. I'll take that for $500 a night. I'll take that every night.
I think $500. I could take that. Yeah. Why not? It's interesting because just the whole, again, we're back to that villain. And who, by the way, played, he was portrayed by Ben Gazzara. Him and Patrick Swayze both subsequently died of pancreatic cancer. Now, Gazzaria was in his 80s, so he kind of, you know.
We're calling him Gazzaria. It's Gazzara. Ben Gazzara.
I'm going to say Gazzaria.
Ben Gazzara.
Because I like Hank Azaria a lot, and I'm going to call him Ben Gazzara.
He's the porno dude in The Big Lebowski.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, that's right. He totally is. I think he's interesting and fun to listen to.
Yeah.
I just don't think he was a threat in this at all. And when the final fight came down, I know that Swayze got shot.
Exactly. Once he loses his gun, he should be the most useless fighter in the world. And he's able to get Swayze down to where Swayze is just about dead before he gets shot.
Yeah. He has other people come to have to save him, basically.
It's ridiculous.
That was so stupid.
To Scott's original question, how does this guy have an army of loyal henchmen? I cannot explain it.
You mean the Money. Town losers?
Right. But
I'll buy you a monster truck if you'll be my friend.
They're in a town with no cops. So eventually one of those henchmen would realize, oh, I stuffed this guy under his own bed and take all his stuff, and I'm the rich guy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Right.
No, like duty pool party at my house. Who's my friend?
Everybody. Oh, yeah.
That pool party. I forgot about that.
There's nudie parties in every nook and cranny of this little town. It's weird.
It's really weird. Just
throw a door open. There's people having sex right behind.
It's really weird, but they're also the most yokely, dumb, like stupid characters. They're characters that you wouldn't want as your henchman. Not the polar bear guy is the worst. He is the worst.
Why is there the trope of the fat guy's tough to beat in movies? Because he's generally not.
Oh, by the way, well, yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
It's true.
I want to hear it because someone will get mad and try to call me out for having a fat joke on the show. But go ahead. Anyway, go ahead.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
No, well, don't worry about it. Don't you worry.
It's not a fat
joke. I agree. It's
a comment. I've been a fat person and I've been a skinnier person. And when
Randy
larger,
knows this has been irritating me for the last few days, but yes, go ahead.
I was not able to move like I can now. Okay. I just don't understand.
All right. So
I wouldn't say a person of larger stature would be able to move as quickly.
Would you? Okay. Here's the question.
No, I agree with that.
Would you, Randy, hire? I'm going to ask Aunt Randy a direct question. You're a bad guy in the town. You got a big mansion across the way from Emmett's farm. All right. And you're running everything. You got a monster truck. You got all of the douchebags working for you. Some are pretty big and tough and can kind of hold their own. And Cletus from the freaking car dealership comes down and he's, I'd say he's about 380, a little slow, just needs to, you know, health up and he'll be fine. But he's not. He's kind of in the worst shape of his life. Are you going to hire him to be one of your gunmen or go get somebody else?
So every army of henchmen has one fat guy.
Right, exactly.
That's a rule. And you got to realize that there's a really good reason why in all combat sports you divide up the competitors by weight. And that reason is because weight means momentum. And a small guy cannot deal with a big guy coming at him. And fighting means closing the distance. And so there's a big guy coming at you. It doesn't really matter if he's terribly agile or has great moves because he uses his weight to his advantage. But you don't want to have more than one fat guy because you have to transport henchmen and he takes up the whole back seat.
That's why they've got the monster truck.
This is a rule that's been around as long as movies have been doing action. I'm surprised you've just now noticed it, but they do have their place. This guy had his place. I wouldn't want to tussle with him. You know, like he ended up falling over.
I would get my butt kicked by every single person in this movie. But you know, if I'm to believe, you know, the guy who's really ripped and in shape and everything is who knows martial arts, is he going to get his butt kicked by the guy who's kind of really bad out of shape? And not like just large, like a sumo wrestler. Sumo wrestler, they spend all their life gaining weight and being physical and they're intensely crazy strong.
But again, it's one guy among a group. And we're talking about group fighting. We're not talking about one-on-one fighting. You wouldn't send the one guy to another one guy's house by himself, right? He's like the centerpiece of a group of fighters. And it makes a lot of sense that you would want the largest man you could get there.
Who was the first gang they sent in to check on Swayze? Because it was the lawyer and Rolly.
The one that's in there beating up on his boss when he walks
in. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What kind of gang was that? You send your lawyer and and the drunk bartender or whatever he is, and right. It was a weird,
really weird.
It was a weird first message to send to Patrick Swayze that I'm going to kick your butt.
Well, that and to the dude who ran it, who was the dude from Emergency, and he was on Lost as Sawyer's dad, and he was something else recently. Yeah, that guy's great.
Oh my God, how'd I forget that he was Sawyer's dad? Yes, of course he was.
A lot younger here, but he's
a man from Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
I kept waiting him to betray somebody.
Well, though. No, he's Sawyer's dad, but he's also, was he pretending to be Locke's dad? We're probably spoiling something for somebody, but
right.
Something was the deal right. there. Whatever that was. Yeah, I don't remember. Or he's actually Locke's dad.
He was actually Locke's dad, but he was the guy who killed or made Sawyer's parents.
Oh, made the dad come over and kill the mom, right. And then he named himself Sawyer after the dude who exactly. turns out, yeah, that's the guy.
Exactly.
So when he came on screen, I went, oh, here's our bad guy. But he was just kind of a muffin. He was no big deal.
Yeah, no, he was exactly. He was just the producer.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just owned the bar.
I kept waiting for him.
The severance pay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He seemed so dirty. I just kept waiting for him to be the bad guy. Matter of fact, I would love to see like Roadhouse Part 2 where Patrick Swayze leaves town. And then this gang, this form
yeah.
of the mm-hmm. old guys in town, what they're going to do next.
All the people left behind, all of whom
there
killed
is a,
the villain.
There is a Roadhouse too.
Yeah, it's a sequel, right?
Called Last Call.
Oh, six,
features, I don't think, any of the people who
but it's
were...
probably just a new town with a new
no,
bad guy.
No, it's not.
The same story
they name,
it's
they
not?
Name him Dalton again. The stuff I read said that they treat it as if maybe this was his son.
Okay. It is. Well, his name is Shane Tanner. Named, he's named as his son.
He's called that? Road, see,
yes, Roadhouse 2, the star of Roadhouse 2, the character is Dalton's kid.
Okay.
But his name is Shane Tanner.
That's super stupid.
His name is Shane Tanner.
But it's got Jake Busey as Wild Bill.
Yeah, and Corey Hart.
Corey Hart's in it?
Likes this one.
I wear my sunglasses at night, Corey Hart?
That one.
No.
Oh, that one?
No, the other one, the actor.
Pink's husband. Pink's husband, yeah.
Wait, Pink had a husband named Corey Hart?
Yes.
That's awesome.
He was
a
skateboarder or a, what was his deal? He was something like he was some sort of direct in addition to being an actor. He was
actor.
Like,
all I know is he was in the Steven Seagal movie Urban Justice, which you've got to see.
I want to see it. I don't even know about it. And just the words came out of your mouth just now made me want to see it.
You've got to see
great.
Urban Justice. It's got Eddie Griffin. Sorry. Go ahead.
So, no, I got a trope for you. You want to hear this?
Okay.
A pretty girl walks into frame. And then out of frame, and you never see her again. But the way they frame it, you think she's in the movie. And I hate this. Like it'll look like, hey, here's our femme fatale. Here's our, you know, love interest or whatever. Nope, she's just there because she looks good. And then she'll just get out of frame and you're done with her. But the way they frame it, shoot it, and have her come toward the camera, she is being shot like a principal actor.
Where? Right, no, when is this? Is this in
the
trailer?
The top of the show, no. The top of the
No, it happened more than once, too.
It probably
More than once,
okay,
they just had
the blonde girl that turns out to be working with the henchmen.
No.
Okay.
More than once, they would have like an establishing shot at the door.
Mm-hmm.
And the.
Yeah. Cool.
Oh, no.
Can we lose him?
Like, oh,
exactly. Oh, he's back. He's back. Never mind. It's a glitch in the system. He's fine. He's right there. She, by the way, is a major stunt lady. That's what she's mostly known for. Not so much acting, but that blonde chick who, the nipple to nipple one or whatever.
Right. Right.
She's
Julie Michaels is her name.
Yeah.
She's not known for
bio.
Acting.
Her bio is fantastic. The first sentence in her bio, Julie Michaels, best known for her role opposite Patrick Swayze in the film Roadhouse, has quite literally fought her way out of the blonde bombshell image. Now let's look at the roles. She's got 42 actress credits starting with, woman on bike, laundry wife, female club goer, groupie, harem girl, mermaid mother, female fan, slutty woman, florist, fashion show patron, barista, pedestrian.
I think I watched Slutty Woman.
Now listen, this is the most recent thing she's done, and help me with this one.
Sure.
She was a stunt coordinator for the newsroom. What are they doing on there?
I know, dude.
Hey, you guys, you need to saunter out of this building like news people and do it realistically.
Okay, now you're going to pull a gun and you're going to dive for the gun. And all right, you're going to. Oh, wait.
Any of that. It's the newsroom. That Dumber needs to get on the air. So you're going to follow him down the hall and then pull into the. I can't think of his real name.
She
so I call
collects
him
a hell of a paycheck.
She sure does.
I hear $500 a night.
Now, the ones make sense to me, like stunt doubles for Rush Hour 3. Dirty Love, The Bold and the Beautiful. That's weird.
Scorpion King.
Oh, she's stunt doubling a lot. Yeah, Scorpion King, so Rockstar.
She basically jumps in and is the blonde, is the stunt double for the blonde lead in a film.
Yeah.
But then there's a lot of stuff where she's, you know, under her actress credits, a lot of these same movies where she's, you know, playing a harem girl in the Scorpion King,
yeah,
or a groupie in Rockstar, the Marky Mark Wahlberg thing.
You don't have to, you don't have to explain it to us.
And to keep, okay, all right. And by the way, keeping her birthday off of her IMDb profile, that's never an accident. Nobody's ever just like, no one ever goes, "What's her birthday?" I don't know. That doesn't how it works. Right. These people actively fight to keep it off of there.
The only thing she's got in there is height,
5'5". Yeah, yeah, that's it.
That's all you need to know, people.
So she has fought her way out of the blonde bombshell image into an image of a ageless blonde bombshell. It's fantastic.
I do really like it that the current leader of North Korea doesn't know his own birthday. I love that. That is like
great,
one of my favorite little facts about him.
Yeah, he really doesn't know, right?
Yeah, he genuinely doesn't know when he was born. That's just awesome.
I like that too. That's pretty bad.
I wonder who it's like IMDb mini biography by Noelle Kim. Like her last sentence is, "No matter if the character Julie playing is seducing or destroying, the strength and power she brings to the screen proves she's the actress for the new millennium!" Uh-huh. Exclamation point.
Yeah.
It's like,
speaking of Steve Seagal, remember Steven Seagal's profile? It's just that. The whole thing.
Oh yeah.
Like that,
right. Yeah. Right.
So that explains a lot about her.
Doesn't it?
Oh, I cut Randy off again with one of those. Go ahead.
I just want to know if Steven Seagal's bio includes some North Korea leader stuff, like, you know, the three holes in one in a row, or
maybe
the time he, you know, stopped a train with his feet or something.
I remember it being pretty fantastic.
The Amazon comments of IMDb profiles, basically. Mm-hmm.
It's pretty good. Trope of the late 80s. Here's my next trope. Cassette tapes start playing as soon as you shove them in.
Oh,
and they start right at the top of the song you wanted
and
to play.
And they sound great.
Yeah.
Man,
Dolby 2.0
never
man.
Sounded like that in real life.
It was one of those metal tapes. Remember metal tapes?
Mine would go, yeah. I remember when they would cost a ton to buy the blank ones. It was like ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I remember buying Maxells and going, why are these $8 a piece?
Right. Because you can hear the difference.
But I put one of those in, and doesn't matter metal or otherwise, and it didn't matter how good the player was, it would be like, geek, and then it would go, and then it would kick in the middle of Muskrat Love or some shitty thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's because you started recording on the clear part of the tape. You had to wait until it actually started.
But not Swayze, dude. Pop that
not
in.
Swayze.
Boom.
Get it queued up. That thing was all covered up. That Mercedes hadn't been anywhere for a while.
So you could argue there are many bad things in this world. You could argue that tyrannical rule and mistreatment of one's people by government is bad. You could argue that, you know, There are a lot of things you could look at in our day, in our
racism,
world.
Sexism.
Sure,
yes.
All these things are bad. They're real bad. But I would like to submit onto that list, if we could just sneak it into that list, shirtless guys dancing with tight jeans down by the band.
Happened a lot.
This happened a lot, dude.
Yeah.
And it isn't, hold your emails, those you think, you guys just can't take it when there's any kind of male nudity. No, that isn't it. Hmm. It's a guy in acid wash jeans with his bad sneakers and his mullet. Dancing the way that they dance is the other problem. This isn't like Rammstein where they look cool dancing like that.
Like Prodigy, right?
Yeah, no, right. It wasn't that at all. It was really bad. So every time they'd go in there and they kept showing how the bar was improving, and now these guys are wearing, like, you know, Best Buy uniforms and everything.
They did all go to the red mock polo, right?
Yeah,
right.
That was great.
So everything's getting better. The thing's cleaned up. They take the cage down. So Blindy and the Blind Rats, or whatever the name of the band
That's
was.
Jeff Healy. Don't say that.
I don't know who Jeff Healy is. I don't know who he is.
Oh, no.
Well, I'm not ripping on him. He's blind. That's half the. There's 20 jokes in that
he
movie
really
about how he's
is
blind.
He's a blind Canadian jazz artist.
I don't believe. I don't deny it.
Jazz.
I just don't.
No, blues. He was like a
Canadian.
Blues.
Yeah.
Oh, he's Canadian? Well, that explains it.
He's the Stevie Ray Vaughan that didn't die.
Oh, okay. Well, good.
Right, yeah.
He actually did die.
Nothing wrong with him.
Oh, damn.
He's great.
Yeah, Jeff Healy's dead.
He's great.
Oh, damn. Seriously?
But when they're...
Man, why you got to go killing Jeff Healy?
Years ago, I think. Sorry, yeah.
Yeah, but every time, it didn't matter how modernized it got, how much that carpet got cleaned up, there was always a guy in tight jeans with no shirt on dancing.
Oh, yeah.
And the ladies liked it. Yeah.
They didn't dislike it. They loved it.
Yeah. So there you go.
You got $20? You want to kiss some of these?
I forgot about that scene.
Oh, yeah. I don't have $20.
$20.
You just reminded me of a trope that was a real head scratcher.
Hold on, let me get that one for you.
it's this, if you put a band in it, they will come thing. Yeah, because that's really the only thing they did to this new Roadhouse. They want to blame it all on Patrick Swayze's special rules of business, like he's Patrick Stewart or something.
Yeah. Right.
But it was actually just all they did was put some things straight, and they brought in a band, and the next thing you know, there's a huge line of people outside. And I'm like, of course, because this band is so popular now that they're about to go on the road and play stadiums. Look at these people. It makes no sense.
I like that you invoked that phrase, possible? Though. The phrase, Patrick Swayze's special rules about business, was it?
It was.
Right. I love
he had
that.
Rules. Right. He had rules. Can we name the rules? Do you know the rules?
Be nice.
Yeah.
Right. That was
there's a whole bunch
rule.
Of be nice. Is okay, that, so how many rules is that?
One, never underestimate your opponent. Expect the unexpected.
Right. Two, now, this wasn't just rules for what was going on in the bar. This is rules for the movie.
Everything. Two, take it outside. Never start anything inside the bar unless it's absolutely necessary. And three, be nice. And then he waits a long time until it's time to not be nice.
Okay.
That was it. And then of course the guy raised his hand.
He had a lot of other little rules, but the one that came out in the middle of the movie that blew my mind was when someone asked him about like a cut or something. He goes, pain don't hurt.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That was when the doctor was working on him.
It's one of the great lines in that movie, man.
Yes.
Pain don't hurt.
What is that? Really?
Yeah. Isn't that the very definition of pain? What is your definition of pain, Dalton?
No pain don't hurt.
All pain hurts.
Real, yeah, pain. All pain hurts.
Can you imagine clawing your way through medical school out in the Midwest?
No.
Getting yourself a residency at some nice hospital, you know, near Kansas City, and just being desperate for the first bouncer from some roadhouse bar that walks in.
Yeah.
Like, seriously?
Well, her uncle messed her up.
Patrick Swayze.
Yeah. That's.
Plus she was, she didn't know that.
Plus she was raised by, you know, old man,
old man gets shot in the
chest 50 times by all his friends.
I am so ready for the movie where that person, you know, it looks like Melissa McCarthy and has been working behind the counter at a 7-Eleven and they fall in love. I'm ready for that.
Yeah. That happens. Isn't that the whole plot behind that movie with, Dane Cook.
Dane Cook, that's the one.
Every Dane Cook movie.
All Dane Cook films.
The one at Costco.
The one that tastes, I was going to say, is that the one at Costco?
That's the one.
Was that added to Costco, or they have a fake name for it?
No, it's a fake name.
Oh, dang it. I wanted it to be an actual Costco.
They use the same name as the one from Idiocracy.
Yeah. So this is happening more often than I like, and I mentioned it a little bit earlier in the show, but I don't like when there's so much action implied and then there isn't any. Do you know what I'm saying? I feel like movies are doing this more to us. We're getting the film sack movies with fond memories or some memories of them being action-packed, you know, epics. Like,
so there's too much talk and not enough walk? Is that what you're saying?
Well, really? Yeah. You mean there wasn't? I thought that this movie was full of action. I mean, there's like 7 or 8 big fight scenes.
Well, you can definitely do too much of it. I think next week we'll talk a lot about that. But I think there can be not enough, and there's a right amount. I don't know what the right amount is. I feel like Die Hard knows how much the right amount is.
Die Hard goes like 30 minutes before anything happens.
Yeah, no, you're right. There's that lead up. I'm not so fussed with if the payoff's good.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And Die Hard knew how to do that. But I feel like this movie didn't know when to do it and when not to do it. And it wasn't enough for me.
I'd be interested in a fight or action index, kind of like the weather. You know, like kind of like the cold weather index. It's like, okay, yeah, it's 70 degrees outside, but it feels like it's 60. I wish it was kind of like that for a movie, because I want to think that Die Hard had a lot of action in it, because I remember the really good action scenes, but I'm not convinced. There seemed like it was a lot of sitting around waiting for something to happen.
Well, I don't know. I saw it recently. But I still think it holds up. But it's not even about holding up so much. It's just that this felt
chatting
a little
with
bit,
the officer about Twinkies in the parking lot.
There is a lot of that. You're right. But they do that in a way that's it's a strong thing, because there's this motive to keep moving to distract.
Yeah, I mean, there's a suspense throughout the whole thing, as opposed to, well, let's just sit in the bar, pour me some more coffee, and I'll just look around.
I just saw that new Jack Ryan thing yesterday.
Oh,
and
how was that?
I thought it was okay. It was fun, kind of popcorn fun, good time. But they're all kind of like the Jack Ryan movies have never been. Like, you know, they're nothing like the early Bourne movies. I mean, they're just kind of like the Bourne movies go a few levels deeper in terms of like complexity and interesting characters and that. I feel like the Jack Ryan stuff's always been a little surfacey and arcadey, and that's fine. I enjoyed it for what it was, but that movie had the same problem with the excess toward the middle, things go crazy, poop hits the fan, and then it is nonstop till the end.
The deuce hits the fan.
And I would prefer the double deuce hits the fan. I prefer guys, and I prefer the happy medium. I think that's probably super difficult. So I don't want to diminish how hard that is to achieve in a film. But I don't think this movie had the right mix.
I want to follow on here with one more trope.
All right, one more trope. Here you go. Right there.
In Roadhouseville, every man can fight, will fight, and wants to fight at all times.
It does fight, yeah.
Like that is really where it's at. You have a hard time as a viewer kind of catching up with that. Like, it's so unrealistic that you start expecting every time someone walks through the door, he's going to throw a punch in the face of the guy next to him.
Yep. And they're all going to say things like "suck start a Harley" and things like that. Do you remember that?
No.
This is a random conversation. Harley? So they're all around what's his name's compound, and guy goes, "Hey, I mean, it's pretty crass, but he goes, hey, you see that blonde yesterday? She could suck start a Harley," he says.
Nice.
And I just kind of went, oh, gosh. These really are the worst people that you can have anywhere.
I don't even know what that means.
It's pretty bad. Also, are the Germans upset that we have portrayed their automobiles and engineering as highly flammable devices that will explode no matter what?
All cars are made of pure gasoline.
They just turn into a heat-seeking missile when you drive it to the
guy's front lawn. Yeah, it's like NASA solid fuel. We make our cars out of NASA fuel. It's great.
He was skeet shooting with cars, though. That was awesome. You can't tell me that was not adrenaline-fueled sweetness when the car was flying through the air and he all skeet shoots out and blows up. That's
that is like a great trope of revenge movies is the finale where you go in and you take out the henchmen one by one in the big mansion.
Mm-hmm. And I'm into that.
Yeah.
That I'm into.
If they just stay together, no problem.
Yeah.
I might get one of us.
I'm into that. And again, that's a good Die Hard thing, right? You just picking them off one by one. It's call it your revenge flick, call it whatever you want. You're picking them off one by one, and that can be so much fun in a movie. I just felt like this one lost a few points here and there. Shooting the car while it was flying like a skeet, that's great. No problem. That's Blow it up, no problem either. But have a bear fall on one of you, dumb.
Yeah, there was no sense in comedy relief at that point because I was really wanting to – the bad guy had convinced me so much that it was his plan all along to drive Swayze crazy until he – Swayze crazy? Drives him crazy until he ripped the guy's throat out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I thought maybe that was his plan. I kept waiting for him to go, "Mwah-ha-ha-ha." Like he was some kind of master genius or something.
He's just driving around on his little four-wheeler, checking out what's going on across the road.
Right. Exactly. Yes, it's just a lot of recreational driving, swerving across the road when he's in his convertible. Yeah. And let's take the helicopter out just 100 yards, and then we'll come back.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Could anybody make sense of that? Why he was depicted as playing chicken inadvertently?
No.
Basically to show you that he could. Like, I can do this because I can. Mm-hmm.
I don't care. I'm super rich and I don't care.
It's a villain we don't do anymore. I don't think, at least not as much anymore. I actually don't like where villains are going now either. The whole impetus, and this isn't that big of a deal, but the whole thing with this new Jack Ryan movie is it's mostly about who can get I'm not going to give anything away. But it's all computer geniuses that are going to take down networks and stuff. That's all it is anymore. I'm tired of that. I want a good old fashioned freaking, let me strap a bomb and run into a place and do a thing.
I'm telling you, dude, smartphones have ruined the ability for screenwriters to just have people settle things with their fists. Yeah, it's just not the way, it'll never be that way again. Unless you set a movie in like the Sahara Desert. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
You just don't have a chance to get around the fact that we're all bound up in technology and we got to see it.
Well, that's why I watched Goodfellas during the week because it was streaming on Amazon Prime. And I just thought, you know what? I haven't seen it in a while. I'm in the mood for Scorsese, even hearing about his new movie, thinking I want to see it. And I like his movies a lot. And so I fired that up like fourth, fifth time I've seen it or something. And man, there's another reminder. I mean, it's historical, so it's telling a tale of, you know, during decades that we can actually chronicle and all that. But man, that movie could have had cell phones and everything would have changed. Like it's shocking. Mm-hmm. Shocking. Yeah. Even the most classic films you could watch today, all of them now, I'm tainted by that. It's like, oh, geez, if you just had cell phones.
I'm sitting here right now putting smartphones in the hands of everybody in this movie, and I'm thinking Patrick Swayze's totally failing his job because he's over playing Angry Birds. Yeah. Android device. Candy Crush.
Yeah.
So yeah, that would be horrible.
Yeah,
no one would even care. They wouldn't have enough attitude to care about it.
So in this town, you know, we're talking about it's lawless, and the guy, the rich dude, just sort of runs it by his whim. Right. But not really, because at the end, and by the way, if you want to see a movie where a mob or a powerful crime somebody or something is pulling strings they shouldn't be able to, but they are doing it in realistic ways in and around the purview of law enforcement, watch season 4 of Justified. They know what they're doing in there, man. They just that was one of the most brilliant resolutions to a season I've ever seen, and it was incredible. And it'll also make you think twice about that actor who's normally on My Name is Earl that was this like really bad guy in that. But anyway, I don't want to get too far into that. That thing is rad and go watch it. But the point is, there are ways to write all of this stuff. When they get to the end of this thing and they got, you know, all the townspeople, the livery guy and the car guy and everybody else shows up with their guns, they all shoot him. Mm-hmm. Fine, great. The town rose up and took it back. I get it. But now suddenly there is somebody from law enforcement asking what happened here.
Yeah, like where were you this whole movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Fair weather friends in this town abound.
Well, you know, they play it up as we didn't feel like we had the power to take him on until you got here, Dalton.
Yeah, right. I guess so. I understand it as a film thing. I get it as an excuse. But I don't think that flies anymore. You don't see movies like that. And if you do, you walk out going, that wasn't very good.
It was stupid.
Like there's another recent example. I finally saw Jack Reacher and I didn't hate it.
Actually, streaming on Netflix.
Yeah. So you waited. Jack Reacher and Jack Ryan?
No. That's yeah. I saw two Jacks in 1 month and I saw it and I really kind of enjoyed parts of it. Everyone likes to hate on Tom Cruise, but I like him. I think he's interesting as an actor and it's fun to watch. Good. He's kind of playing the same guy now, but it's fine.
Oh yeah. It's so brooding.
It pretty much is him every time the same, but that's fine with me. I don't mind that. I can get into it and enjoy it and he can run really fast and all that stuff's fine.
He can't run
but
fast.
That's another movie where
it looks like he can run fast.
That movie may as well be like a science fiction fantasy movie because they're operating in a world where there's no cops. There's no.
Yeah.
Right.
It's weird. And sometimes it's so bad that you just like the whole movie, it takes you out and you're like, what is going on here? This is not, I can't be in your reality because it's too far off. You know? Right. And that's how I feel about that.
And there's a little tiny use of cell phones in Jack Reacher, but it really is like there's so many spots where it's like, why don't you just Google that guy?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Look him up. You don't have to tap some old friend in the NSA to find it. Yeah. Just go look for it. Anyway, it's interesting stuff. We have clips if you guys are interested.
Let's get some clips.
All right, I got some here, damn it. And they are good. So I'm going to start with this one, which is telling him to do something.
I've always wanted to try you. I think I can take you.
Outside.
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 I'm a robot.
I can take you outside, I guess.
I
can take you right out the door.
Face off. That's right.
And then he pulls the trick of just go walking him out and then leaving him out there.
Yeah. See you, sucker.
Nice.
I don't remember what this one is. So play.
Well, I look like a valet.
Oh.
Keep it. It's yours.
I look like a valet. Come on, man.
The homeless guy who gets his bends.
Yeah. I expected music to kick in here.
I love it. I love it that Dalton keeps a trunk full of spare tires
because he's
not
working.
Even of the same type.
Right. Doesn't matter.
Right.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. He's working a job where he expects people are going to abuse his car.
What was the name of that show I'm thinking of? The music with Red Fox. What was the name of that?
Sanford and Son.
Was it Sanford and Son?
Yeah.
I thought I had that soundtrack. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
The song is called something else. It's by Quincy Jones, and it's called. That's the one.
Oh, that's so good.
I'm not your valet.
That is so good, dude.
I love that. All right. There you go. There's that. What else? Okay, here we go. No one says this anymore these days.
Don't come back, peckerhead.
No one calls anyone peckerhead anymore.
I loved it. I wrote that in my notes. Peckerhead is
you hear that very often anymore? I don't.
Not anymore. No, not since the 80s.
Nope.
We're starting it back up.
Okay.
I spend a part of every day on the Blizzard forums, and I don't ever even hear that word.
Yeah, no one's even. It's just not in vogue. I don't know when it comes back. At some point, I mean, Rad has a nice little following again. Mm-hmm. Words like that are coming back, but I don't know what happened to Peckerhead.
I think everybody in the room would stop if you said that to somebody.
Yeah,
I literally do.
Here's Steve. He's a real smooth operator.
I get off at 2, and I just love to get you off about a half an hour after that.
Man, Steve.
Half hour if you're lucky.
I think that's just a little aggressive.
A little, yeah.
I just don't think that's a good pickup line.
And
I
mean, just that was
better than nipple to nipple. Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
She's grinning. She looks like she just got off the sorority bus. Like she's just this guy with his freaking dirty words.
The same guy that got busted in the kitchen, though, wasn't it?
Steve. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, he's that all part. Like, jeez.
Yeah, he's all like, "I was on my break." What? When I can't do that, that's not one of your
rules.
Why
can't you do that on your break? I remember a boss I had that we caught him. Well, no, let's see. What was the deal? We did find out that he was closing his door and looking at porn on his computer at work. Right. Mm-hmm. But
who doesn't do that?
We had found somebody. There was somebody in the office who was also like looking at porn on their break. And his defense was, it's your break. You can do whatever you want.
Nice. Oh, yeah. Totally.
Nice. So, you know, why doesn't Swayze have that same perspective? Right. Hey, you know, whatever.
Forward thinking, man.
You're done in 15 minutes. Finish that coffee.
Yeah.
You want a break?
Here's the nipple comment.
Well, you say you and me get nipple to nipple.
That's also Steve, I guess. It was Steve both times.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The fact that may have been after he made that other statement there or something. I don't know.
Honestly, I think he just needs some help.
You guys see Swayze's his weird belly button? He got a weird belly button. I'm just saying.
I could not see that.
I saw it. Yeah,
it's odd. It's shaped funny.
I saw your post, but I didn't look directly at it.
Yeah, do.
You have to look. You have to punch a pinhole in a piece of cardboard and look at it through that.
It's when he's laying out with what's her name, Griswold looking like lady, blonde lady. I keep forgetting her name.
Kelly Lynch.
Okay, that's her. But that's when he's laying out there and he's got his arm behind his back and his belly's like stretched flat and his belly button looks like not a belly button. It looks like a piece of gum.
That's what somebody in shape looks like.
It looks like chewed up gum to me. It's weird. Kind of an outie.
That's a man who probably had an umbilical hernia earlier in life.
Yeah, I should think more. Yeah, I had one of those actually. Yeah. But mine's inside. I didn't have an outie. I don't know what happened there.
Did you have a little surgery when you were a little kid?
I did.
Little cosmetic
two or three or something. I forget. And it was more involved. I had like a bigger hernia. It was a weird, like none of the muscles formed right thing. So they had to do that.
I'm glad that you forgot. I'm glad you don't remember. Because that seems like the kind of surgery that would just be hell on a small child.
Oh, I can't even imagine.
Scott, you're a miracle of science. Did you know that?
That and cutting off somebody's, their little short stack. Their foreskin.
So let's go around the table. Randy, you?
I just had a feeling talking about this movie, we'd get around to talking about foreskin.
Always. I don't think he can help it. Okay, here's the offer on table right here for this guy.
For $20, you can kiss him. Are you kidding?
Yeah. I'll buy that for $1.
Yeah, I'll pay that. Hey, you should ask for the money up front, dude.
I do not understand what that was doing in this movie. Can someone explain it to me?
It was a device.
Comedy relief.
Yeah. And kind of illustrate, these are the most base of human beings in this bar right now. We need to. That was the point of the movie. They're really trying to. In fact, it's Swayze standing in the room. He'd turn left and a weird debaucherous scene would happen. He would turn right and another one would happen right before his eyes.
Somebody's selling drugs out of there. Right?
Yeah. But the way he did it, I mean, it was like watching Mavis Beacon point out where the keys on my keyboard are.
Are you guys scared that Bubba was going to come back for his corner? Did you guys?
Bubba, wait.
Bubba, there was a big,
oh, the big hairy dude.
No, there was a big etching in that pole right next to where Swayze kept standing, and it said like Bubba's Corner or something like that.
I didn't notice
that's
that.
That's hilarious.
I kept waiting for Bubba to show up and go, "You're in my corner."
That's my corner.
like putting a name over a parking space. People don't want to go there.
That's my space. I don't see your name on it. It's right there.
I wrote it right there, sir. I've been thinking about putting a name on a parking space at work, not saying reserved and not saying my name.
Yeah.
Putting a name and seeing if people leave it open for me.
Well, if you put Bubba, you might keep people out of it.
Put Jack Ryan over there.
Yeah, why not?
It's actually Jack Sterling where I work is the fake name. Mm. And there's a huge history about Jack Sterling. Mm. He was like a, you know, like a HR exec or something. He was every position at some point or other, this Jack Sterling fellow.
Wow.
I'm thinking about giving him a parking space.
Bring him back. Yeah. Bring the guy back. All right. Big balls as big as what now?
You know, I heard you had balls big enough to come in a dump truck, but you don't look like much to me.
easy now, to mistake what his meaning is there.
Exactly. Yes. I was going, does that, is it double entendre?
Do the balls arrive in a dump truck?
That's, we hope that's what he meant. We really, really hope that's what he meant.
Does he have the capacity to fulfill?
Because I would think that, you know, pretty much any size, you could actually do that into a dump truck.
Yeah. Right, yeah. It's a pretty big target.
Oh, man.
Sorry, Scott was not expecting.
I was not. I didn't.
Every episode of Film Sack is rated accordingly to the movie that we watch. Okay,
right. Yeah.
And this movie is X-rated. Let's face it. I know it got an R back in the day, but if you just made this movie shot for shot with modern people, you'd have a hard time getting it past the
MPAA. I think you're NC. I think you're NC-17 for sure. Totally. Yeah. And it's funny because it's not so much that each bit of like it's some of it's laughable and dumb, but in do it now with like, I don't know. They do it now, you're in trouble. I agree with that 100%.
Yeah, and isn't that strange to think that the MPAA is tighter in 2013 than it was in 1987?
It's really weird. It's really weird.
But boobs are much more offensive now than they were.
Well, and back then they were much harder on violent imagery than they were sex stuff. You'd have boobs and all sorts of things that were PG, and right. It was fine. I don't know what where that switch came. Well, who knows? I'm sure you watch that one documentary plus a lot of other evidence kind of probably points to the sources of all that, but it's a weird twist, I think. They don't have a problem with me, you know, carving somebody's face off on screen, but
right. I can rip somebody's throat out.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, when I just said this would get an NC-17, it never occurred to me to think because of the violence. Not at all.
Right. No. Me neither, because we've been trained by the system, man. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
All right. Here's a great little line, I think.
Calling me, sir, is like putting an elevator in an outhouse. Don't belong.
Yeah. Remember, whenever you do one of those similes, those old timey cowboy similes, don't say the last pit.
Yeah. Right.
Don't
exactly. Step
it. Yeah. You already got
because it doesn't elevator. Belong.
That's right. That's right.
You know, you get like, I don't mean to keep going back to the Justified well, but when you read good Elmore Leonard dialogue or good Elmore Leonard inspired dialogue, it makes all this other stuff seem amateur and terrible.
Yeah.
Because when he says things like that, they stick with you. They change your course of your life if you're reading it real hard. But this is bad. That's bad. All right, don't go over there. That's like sticking a rat tail up the Jenga bits. Like, what are you even saying? That didn't make any sense. I just kicked
it. It don't belong.
It don't belong.
It don't belong. Come on.
Sounded like Scott just kicked over a drum kit.
I kicked over a garbage can. I've kicked two things over. I dump water, and my wife has come down while we recorded and cleaned up my flood. And then I also kicked over a garbage can just now.
Well, you're like what's going on. You're like the guy that beats up his wife right before she works out.
That's a terrible cowboy colloquialism.
Happened in this movie.
Yeah. It happened in this movie.
Did they say that?
Like when she's doing her yoga, he comes over to Gazara's house.
Yeah.
And she's over there doing yoga and she's got her beat up face. Yoga?
That was Jane Fonda or
yeah, that's true. Jazzercise is what it was.
Yeah.
And she looks over at him. Oh, no, Dalton sees me. I better cover my face. Oh, I'll pull my hands down because it's too late now.
Don't look at me. Don't look at the bruise.
That was weird. All right. Here's Steve losing his job or something.
Shit.
I just like that. Sounded.
Shit.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Another one.
Hey, shut up, shithead.
Well, is a lawyer guy or whatever. He ended up being just a regular old henchman later, but they showed him as like a lawyer or something
right.
at the beginning.
Right.
Here's another one you don't hear often. Here you go.
What's the matter, you chicken dick?
Chicken dick.
It's not often. I've never heard that in my life. Yeah, it's in my entire life.
It's actually a pretty good description of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Interesting. That's interesting. Yeah.
Well, it's funny because you know, he even says during the nice, not nice description that, you know, it's just two words put together to elicit a response. Two nouns combined to elicit a response.
Yeah.
And you know, that's all basically they're doing. Okay, so gotta end with the word dick or pecker, right? Uh-huh. Or let's do pecker dick.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Come here, you pecker dick.
That's what they did in the 80s. It's just basically combined two words, and one of them had to be a euphemism for penis.
I miss it.
All right, and the second word could be face or head interchangeably anytime.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's right.
Look here, head banana.
Look here, head. Scrotum face.
Scrotum face. What's wrong with you? I like it. Pain don't hurt.
Do you enjoy pain?
Pain don't hurt.
Pain don't hurt.
Can I say it more breathy?
Pain don't hurt.
Pain don't hurt.
But it tingles like a son of a bitch.
You're right. What, yeah. Tickles me real good.
I'm feeling a lot of pressure.
I don't know if you guys can speak to this, but because we've all got dads that kind of were of the same generation-ish. And, you know, we mine has passed away, sadly. Same with Randy and Ibbet. Your real dad's around, right? Or no?
My real dad's around, yes.
Yeah, your stepdad's one who died recently.
Stepdad passed away a couple
so,
years ago.
But, yep. So we've all got, I think they're all kind of the same generation. Don't you think that was a generation that was more pain resistant? Now, what I say this no. because my dad had a bunch of dental stuff to deal with, okay, especially later on. Right. Never, including full-on root canals, two or three of them, never, ever took painkiller during the procedure.
That
never
was
once.
Crazy it
according
was
to what he told you.
Well, no, I witnessed this once. I got to see him do this. Go in there, sit down, have them say, all right, Novocaine, nope. You want this? Nope. Happy gas? Nothing? Nope. Don't want any of it. Don't trust any of that stuff.
Just what were you doing in that room?
And he
Scott
would just
Johnson.
And he would just grimace.
Learning, Randy. Learning.
I was training to be a torture dude. But also, so the guy that's married to my mom right now, John, he says the same thing. Says he never does the shots, never gets painkiller. He's like 80 something.
Well, not when I'm 80 either, probably have any nerves left. It's well, like, maybe. Whatever. I don't feel that.
But he claims he never has. So I don't know what's going on there. I just wonder if there was a generational like pain gap.
Oh, absolutely.
We're all a bunch of pusses now.
You used to not trust medicine. Look here, doctor. I don't trust your oil snake, whatever you're selling. Yeah. Don't do it.
Oil snake.
I know my dad. Your oil snake. I think it's snake oil is the way you want
it
to do
it. It is snake oil. I'm old man, and I'm talking like backwards words.
I like it.
It's Yoda giving advice.
Why you disgust me?
I swear to God, boss, I'm sorry.
You disgust me, O'Connor. You want to know why you disgust me?
No, why, boss?
That's why. Punch you in the face.
Because you just can't take a hit without making a grunt noise.
What was it? What was the... What? Okay, that's right. He was just roughing up some henchmen.
He was.
Yeah, that's right. Okay.
Can I say I actually enjoyed him beating up that guy? That was kind of... Something was wrong with me. I don't know, but I actually enjoyed watching him.
Well, it had a great sound effect at the end. I mean, listen to that thing again.
It's a hobby hole.
Wait. Shoot.
Oh, yeah, this is good.
Oh, wait.
I swear to God, boy. I don't know why, boss.
I mean, that's a great punch. That's fake as hell, but I love it.
Right. They had good potato sack punches in this one. I mean, it was...
Yeah, cracking celery all over the place.
Right. That was great. All right, here's a good one for you. I just started to play it. Here we go. Whoops, come on now.
Does a hobby horse have a wooden dick?
Is that another weird one?
No, actually, I've
seen it. Didn't. Yeah, it doesn't.
I think that would offend a lot of people if you made one with a wooden dick.
Exactly, dude. Why would he say that? Because they don't have those.
Oh. Yeah, but how do you have little baby hobby horses?
Oh my gosh. That was so dumb when I heard it. I just thought, no.
Hobby horse husbandry.
They don't. If they do, you got a bad deal.
Yeah, right?
All right, here's the sound. I think it was a burp, and I want to believe it was, and I don't remember what happened or how this happened, but I swear this guy burped. So here it is. Is that a burp?
It sounds that like sounds, it. Yes. Do you know yep. Do you remember the contest?
The guy got beat up or something, and they were kind of trying to lean him up. And oh no, no, no! Oh, I'm yeah, sorry. Yeah, he was yeah, the guy that was falling guy. Asleep in the diner. That's what it
oh,
was.
Oh right, yeah. Right. And so Swayze, even off the clock, he's saving people falling yeah, asleep at diners.
Totally, which is great. And then he went right here.
I think it's will this do for rent? No, it will not, because this is a restaurant.
Yeah. All right, this movie came out in 1991, but y'all may be sitting there asking yourselves, did this come out in the 80s? And then I would play this for you. Oh, man. If that's not just...
Is that the dancing, Sam Elliott yes, dancing scene?
Yeah. Yes.
No, when did you say this came out?
I thought it might be the music that was playing when Swayze gives him a visit.
Oh, and he said, turn that shit off. Yeah, he said, turn that shit off. Yeah, that was it.
Right, the jazzercise music.
Yeah. But I still say the villain is a hoot, therefore, ergo, this clip right here.
You know, when I came to this town after Korea, there was nothing. I brought the ball here. I got the 7-Eleven. I got the photomat here. Christ, J.C. Penney is coming here because of me.
I got the dude, photo mat here.
I got the did photo mat.
Did you hear what I said? J.C. freaking I, Penny.
I spent minutes on the phone trying to wrangle that photo mat deal. Minutes.
What is photo mat? Was that a brand or is that just a thing to describe
no,
a photo
those
place?
Those are the little things you'd find in Kmart yeah, parking lots where you drive up, yeah, you drop your film off, and then a week later you drive back up and see if they had it ready for you.
But would they be called like the Kmart photo mat?
No, it's yeah, just plain photo mat.
Was that a brand then?
No, it's just it was just a play on laundromat.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, but so do they never care about not having a brand name attached to them? like 1 hour photo. They were right. There had to have been a company at some point that was called 1 hour photo, right?
Yeah, they had a brand.
Okay. I'm just curious. I don't remember that time very well at all.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, that was the way you got your naked picture stolen.
It was a corporation. There was a Photomet kiosk chain.
Okay, that makes sense. But that became, I'm sure, ubiquitous the way, you know, Kleenex or Band-Aid or whatever.
Right, yeah. Take it to the Photomet. Well, which one?
Which one do I do it with, and how many days does it take? Oh, that was a terrible time to be alive.
A week. Man,
I used to, when I was in high school, I knew a guy who worked at the Photomet. And actually did some processing, and of course that meant everybody who found out would always ask him if he saw naked people.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
And of course he said yes all the time.
Of course, all the time. You see naked people all the time. Yeah. And he had this whole little speech he always gave about the difference between naked people and pornography.
Yeah.
Right, right. Okay, did I ever tell you guys about the time I bought a car? True story.
No.
True story. I bought this car and I'm like taking it home and cleaning it up. And I'm like, I pick up, it had a rear tire well, and I picked up the carpet to look at it.
Yeah.
There was a lady in there naked on a Polaroid. And I'm like,
whoa.
And it was all kinds of Polaroid that you didn't want to see.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And yeah, I was like, oh.
I'll take it.
That's great. I got a real deal on this car, see?
Mm-hmm.
I'm
gonna rip up every piece of upholstery in this sucker.
Digital has been a real boon to naked people, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, they've really enjoyed that. All right, dig a hole.
Dig a hole.
It's like that way that guy laughs.
Dig a hole.
You can put that stop sign in it when you're done.
Yep.
Yeah.
All right, we've come this long far, and we haven't played anything that Sam Elliott has said. So here you go, my favorite line in the movie. Right here.
The double douche.
The double douche.
You know, we were all thinking it back in the day.
Yep. I like him so much. I could listen to anything.
I hate to say it, man. I am straight, all right? But this guy, he is so sexy in this movie.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, dude, Sam Elliott, even old Sam Elliott going, it ain't right, Wyatt, it ain't right. It doesn't matter.
Right.
It's just so something about him. The dude abides. Right? He's just great. I take comfort in that.
I'm going to lie down here on this bar with somebody jabbing a note into my chest.
It's just fascinating how until it's your time to die, you can be the biggest badass ever. Once it's your time to die, hand waving, you're dead.
Yeah.
<Doesn't matter. laughs> Right, yes, exactly.
Yeah. I had that.
Well, he was drunk, didn't put up much of a fight.
I have a clip. I can't find it.
Finally, there's a better way. Comfort wife.
No.
There is no comfort.
No. I can't find it. I take comfort in that.
Oh.
So I was trying to find it. I have that.
Lebowski.
Yeah, I don't know what I did with it. Well, anyway, doesn't matter. All right, how about this? A couple more and we're done here. Let's see. The ultimate angry acting in this film. So here's your angry acting moment.
Well, who's going to save it from you?
I love it because it's her screaming and then an explosion.
That's right. And then walking away.
Yeah. I like that a lot.
Right.
Prepare to die.
Prepare to die. You are such an asshole.
Yeah, prepare to die. Chicken dick. Okay.
The fight with the throat punch.
Yeah, exactly. What's the matter, chicken
dick? What's the matter, you chicken dick?
Oh, man. I missed that guy. There's another.
Bacock? What does chicken dick say? Bacock?
Exactly. That's not too bad. Here's Scott Fletcher with one more bit. Right here.
It's a good night. Nobody died. Roadhouse.
Yeah.
That last bit.
That's good.
That was his Twitter post.
That's really good. Mm-hmm. Thanks, man. All right. That means time for this thing. It's the film tech checklist. Oiled up Swayze doing Tai Chi in the yard. Check. He had oil on him. There's no way that was sweat.
He was always oily.
Yeah, that's true. Pointing out a blade in a dude's boot prompts the camera to zoom in and have it glint in the light. Check.
Right.
That was awesome. That was great. And then finally, that moment you know Sam Elliott is way cooler than you'll ever be. Check. All right.
Yeah.
Star Trek moments, Star Trek connections, actually. We get these from Daryl. Big thanks to him, as always. And we got a lot. I'm going to run through them real fast. Tiny Ron, he was played the character Mountain. DS9, he played some weird name, and then Voyager played a bunch of names.
He was Loxana Troi's manservant.
Correct. Big, tall, weird-looking dude.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Funky-looking head.
Not Gom, though, or whatever his name was.
No.
is the DS9 manservant.
No. Wait. No, you're right. No. Not him. That's a different dude.
Mm-hmm.
Patricia Tallman played Bandstand Babe. appeared as various background characters in several episodes of TSG or TNG through Voyager and Generations, I guess. Kevin Tai, he played Tie Man in this.
Wow.
He's the emergency guy. He's was in Voyager, played Captain Janeway's ancestor Henry Janeway in the episode 1159, and played Roy DeSoto on Emergency. So there you go. I liked him.
Oh, yeah.
He's a big
right.
fan. Dennis Ott, bar character. Star Trek 3, played a Klingon. Star Trek 6, played a horned alien who fought Kirk on Ruapenthe. I remember that.
Oh, good.
Yeah, remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Good job, Dennis Ott. Chris Latta, she was the sharing husband, the guy that wanted you to, oh, you put 10 sure. bucks, I'll let you kiss him.
Gotcha.
He was in everything. So I'm just going to.
And doing the same line in every Star Trek
every
Next Generations. He's in 10 forward.
Yep.
Mr. He's Data, give me 10 credits in the holodeck. I'll let you touch him.
Yep.
He's on the promenade and Quark's bar.
And here's the very small piece that you'd love to hear about this guy. In the very early episodes of The Simpsons, like first season, early episodes, he was both Mr. Burns and Mo the bartender before they gave that to Shar.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Kind of cool. I like that one
cool.
a lot.
Jeez.
And finally, Anthony DeLongis. He was a combat stuntman in Voyager. He played Kula in 5 episodes. All right, there you go. Your soundtrack grade for me is PS for pretty shitty. I didn't
disagree.
Like it. I didn't like it.
Yeah.
I don't mean, no. I don't mean the music. Awesome. Like the music, okay. The licensed music's fine. That's always good in these things.
That's what you're saying. The Blind Guy music was great.
Yeah.
The blues.
The rest
a lot of covers,
terrible.
Too, in this movie.
Yeah. Makes you want to go by.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It was like a night at Antone's on Fifth Street in Austin. Like, just so many cover songs that, you know, they're playing Steve Miller. They're playing Stevie Ray Vaughan. Other Steves.
Yeah. All the Steves, yeah. And Steve out there making the moves. It's great. Let's sum this thing up in 140 characters or less in our little Twitter post here, and that's where you guys do that, and we'll start with Randy.
Roadhouse, like seeing a woman doing a stomach-turning striptease in a bridesmaid's dress in a filthy bar where there were just dead bodies yesterday, you can't look away.
I like the accent, too. That was nice. Dunaway.
Roadhouse, like the sign over the toilet that says, don't eat the big white mint. It may not be necessary, but it does make you giggle. Giggle.
Nice, nicely done. Brian Ibbett.
Roadhouse. I used to F movies like this in prison.
You win.
Wow.
Yeah, you did.
Because you're... What is that?
How is that a threat anyway, by the way?
I don't know. It's like the worst backwards threat.
Yeah. Are you saying you don't want to fight anymore?
Yeah.
It's like... It's like coming at somebody to fight and saying, I just washed my hands. Yeah. You know, like, what? I don't even.
Yeah, it doesn't
right,
fit.
Exactly.
Something's odd. All right. Yes. Well, we got the alternate titles in. Envelope just handed to me here. Lots of dudes dancing in jeans shirtless, or how to stop a drunk old guy from falling off a stool in a greasy diner. Emails. Great podcast, says Andrew. Great show on Revenge of the Ninja. My brother was hooked on throwing stars back in the mid-80s, just like we were. My movie suggestion is this. The Miami Connection on Netflix. It involves ninjas, awesome pop music, and a white karate guy. Keep it up, Andrew.
Wow.
Now, was his brother hooked on throwing stars, or did he get stabbed by one?
There was always a little bit of both going on in my house. Like,
right?
We thought that was cool, and we'd buy him at the Keyhole or at Spencer's and take him home. And then my brother would sit on one, and then there'd be blood, and then
you'll oh,
drink
I've
your
that.
Milkshake. What?
I think I've seen that, and then there'll be blood.
Yeah, then there'll
That's
be blood.
That's a great movie title.
Hey fellas, says Rack Shatner.
Hey.
We know him. He's been around. Mm-hmm. Hey fellas, just putting in my request for a flick I'd really like to hear you guys sack. Kingdom of the Spiders, starring none other than William Shatner. This has been on our kind of virtual list for a while.
Right.
He says it would be loads of fun. Trust me, it's not boring and there are shitloads of spiders in it. The only place I know that it's streaming
well,
in full.
It's not mislabeled.
No. He says it is streaming in full on YouTube. So if we did want to finally grab that, we could in some streaming fashion. Up till now, it's just been scarce is why we haven't done it. But YouTube, I could deal with maybe. So we'll look into that, Rack Shatner.
Also, it's called Kingdom of the Spider. I mean, we...
Yeah, it sounds good to me.
It's making the hair stand up on the back of my neck. Just
a little
thinking
bit.
About it.
Yeah.
What did we watch? We watched a big spider movie one time.
Oh, that was
not?
Frogs. Oh, no. Ants. You think
bees.
Of the ants. Bees, millions
it
of
was bees.
Bees,
scorpions, snakes, frogs.
Right. Seen, there's a lot of an animal. We've seen it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Bees, bees.
Bees, millions of bees.
Yeah, remember that?
Bees, millions of bees.
Oh, gosh, bees. Look at that, bees. Anyway,
it's just like a mini hive.
You're making me hungry for honey.
Yeah, and scared of spiders. Great. Filmsack@gmail.com is the address to send your emails to. We love getting them. Our next film next week, Timeline, with Paul Walker, Billy Connolly,
Anna Friel.
Anna Friel.
Ah.
Hold on. There's more.
Gerard Butler.
Gerard Butler. Yeah.
300 man. Leonidas.
Professor Lupin.
Yes, Professor Lupin. That's right. Yes. And a bunch of the people you always see in everything are in it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it's directed by Richard Donner, which, you know, we've done Superman and the Lethal Weapon business and all that. It's time for us to get Donner in his later films. In fact, his second to last film. And we'll tell you how we think it holds up. Answer is not very well.
Yeah. So
sneak peek for next week.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah, spoiler, everybody. It's not great. But it is coming up. That's Timeline, the opus, the Michael Crichton opus Timeline, which I actually keep hearing. Oh, the book is so good. The movie's nothing like the book. But I still feel a little tainted by the movie to go get the book.
Yeah, you should read the book. Like, it's one of like the four Michael Crichton books that you should read.
What would you say? Jurassic Park. Oh, Congo.
Disclosure for sure.
Oh, Disclosure.
Sphere has the best ending I've ever read in a book.
Is a great book.
But the movies are bad. Sphere is not a good movie.
No,
right.
And yeah, Disclosure is not good either.
Do not do well. I promise you.
You go read Sphere. The last five pages of that book, and I just realized we're going to talk more about Michael Crichton next week.
It's so good, right?
Okay.
Jurassic Park, Sphere, Congo, which that's what we swapped out for.
Oh, we did, right?
Yep. Oh no, we're doing them all. We're doing Congo.
Yeah, Congo's still streaming because that's what's recommended to me after I watch just about every movie.
Everything I watch on Netflix says, you want to watch Congo?
Come on, watch it already.
2014 is the year of Michael Crichton books made into movies on FilmSack. Let's go.
All right, I'm in.
Sure.
That sounds great. So please tune in for that. We'll be back next week with all that. In the meantime, please join us on the website. There are things going on there, mostly things like, oh, you can comment on posts and click to the forums and hang out with us in general because we'd like that. Keep your comments on the forum or the blog coming. We'd love that stuff. And for some reason, Badass had like woefully attended comments. I don't know why.
It did. It was weird.
Yeah, it was
I think everybody was scared.
Right.
I just think you watch that movie and then listen to our film talking like, oh man, that guy's going to come kill me if I say anything online.
That might have been it. And someone will film it on a bus. Yeah, I don't want that.
Don't people worry. Just said,
you guys hit the nail pretty much on the head. Next.
Yeah. That's about right. So anyway, please do that. Participate. We'd love it. FilmSack@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @FilmSack. Leave us a review on iTunes or wherever podcasts are downloaded or sold. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian, and for Rand.
Yeah.
See you next time.
He hates these kids.
Shit.
Yeah.
Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.